Today we'll be learning a sicha from Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev, Tavshin Nun Beis, 9 years ago. That year, Shabbos was 2 days before Hanukkah. As we mentioned many times, that those weeks, during this time, that every week spoke in a very strong way about Mashiach and Geula, and where we see in different words and different expressions that indicated how we're coming closer and closer, and it's a way that it's never been this way before in history. In this sicha, there's a certain point that the Rebbe brings out at the end of the sicha, which we'll go into, but in order to appreciate that, I want to go through a little bit of an introduction. And this introduction is to go over briefly what it says in the sicha. In the sicha, the Rebbe says, some people ask, where do we see a difference in the world today, that the world is more ready for Geula more than in previous generations? In other words, what do we see? We hear it from the Rebbe, that's true. But people ask, where do we see it? Where could we see it with our eyes? The Rebbe goes in to explain that Chazal tell us, Tzedakah osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shepizran lebeinu umes. That Hashem did kindness with us, that He has us spread out amongst the nations of the world. The Pashat Pshat is, what's the kindness? The kindness is that if Chas V'Shalom, something happens to Yidden in one place, they're free and to run away in another place. And if Chas V'Shalom, something happens to Yiddishkeit in one country, in one city, so there's Yiddishkeit in another city. So it's really a kindness that we're not all located in one central place, but we're spread out throughout the world. Al Pi Chassidus, there's a deeper meaning. What is this kindness? And Al Pi Chassidus, it brings down that it says that the reason why Hashem has us scattered and spread out all over the diaspora, all over the world, is sheyatesef aleihem geirim, which means that there should be more geirim converts to Klal Yisroel. And the question is that it's true that throughout the ages there have been people that came from other nations to join Klal Yisroel, but we don't find so many tens of thousands of geirim that it should justify this statement that the purpose is to bring geirim. So Chassidus explains that geir could mean literally a person who is a convert, but geir could also mean on a finer level, on a more spiritual level, and that is a spark of godliness that initially and originally was not godly, and we, through Torah and mitzvahs, transform it and elevate it and make that spark godliness. That's also, in a spiritual sense, the same concept. We're converting something which initially was not Kedusha, and we make it into Kedusha. So being that there are sparks of godliness all over the world, in fact, we just had a class here on Wednesday night where we went into this at length, and the only way we can reach all those sparks is by Hashem sending us and having us spread out all over the world, and in that way we can reach every single spark of godliness and elevate it and transform it. And the Rebbe goes into the fact that it says Hashem spread us out to all the different nations of the world, different countries of the world. And in one way, the Rebbe says, we see now the difference between us today and generations before us, and that is that there's never been a time like today where Jews are literally spread in every single part of the world. The Rebbe doesn't say that, but I think we can say there's probably not a place in the world that you can travel and ask, are there any Jews living here? Or even if you told no, you'll end up finding a Jew living there or coming by there for business. There's not a place in the world where Yidden don't come around. And the reason is because by going to all these places, we're able to elevate every single spark, which ultimately, what does this lead to? Once all the sparks of godliness that are out in the world are elevated, that's when Mashiach comes. Says even though this applies to all the countries all over the world and every place is being elevated, but there's one particular country that stands out, That Shabbos, there was a group that came from France to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe spoke by the fact that there's one country that stands out, and that's Tsarfas, France. The Rebbe went into a lengthy explanation of Tsarfas. Why France? And the Rebbe brought a pasuk, and this pasuk was in fact read in the Haftarah of last week's Shabbos. In the Haftarah it says, it's talking about the future and the promises of how the world will change in the future, and ultimately all the nations of the world will be conquered and become connected to Hashem. So the pasuk says, "V'golos achel hazeh lebnei Yisrael." A few other words, then it says, "At Tsarfas." Again, Yoshua's Ori Anege, Volo Meshim, Barziyim, Mishpeitas Har Esav, Vohoysel Hashem Alucha. So the country that's mentioned explicitly is Tsarfas, France. So that means that obviously there's something specific spiritually in France, and that's why that country is specifically pointed out and mentioned, that it'll also be elevated and become connected to Hashem. This pasuk is not talking about something which happened before. This pasuk is talking about the time of the Geula. In other words, our times today. And here the Rebbe goes in that we see an interesting thing about France, how it's different today than it was in the times of the Alter Rebbe. It's known that the Alter Rebbe was, during his times, Tovkuf Ayin Gimu, which I guess is 1812. During that year, the war broke out between France and Russia. And the Alter Rebbe, there was a difference of opinion between the Alter Rebbe and other Rebbes, other great Hasidic Rebbes. The difference of opinion was, who should we Jews pray for that they should win the war? There were other Rebbes that they wanted that the Tsar should win the war, and Napoleon should win the war. And the Alter Rebbe wanted that Russia should win the war. And the reason the Alter Rebbe gave was, he said like this, if Napoleon will win the war, there'll be more wealth amongst Yidden, and on a Gashmizdik level, Yidden will prosper. But spiritually, it'll bring Yidden further away from Hashem. Because Napoleon was a person, and one of his things were to bring free thought into the world. Free thought meaning not to believe in Hashem, rather to believe in your own power. And not only that his opinion was that, but really he had this influence on the whole world, ultimately. So the Alter Rebbe said he sees that if Napoleon will win, then this is what's going to happen to the Yidden. On the other hand, if Alexander, which was the Russian king, if he's going to win the war, then true, the Gashmias, things won't be so good. Yidden will be, in fact, in many ways, crushed, but spiritually it'll be connected to Hashem. And that's why the other Rebbes asked for this, the Alter Rebbe wanted this. In fact, it's brought down that in heaven it was decreed that they're all tzaddikim, and which way will it be? And it was decided in heaven, and the tzaddikim knew this. Whoever blows shofar first that year, Rosh Hashanah, is going to get it and have it his way. So the other Rebbes all davened very quickly in Rosh Hashanah, more than they normally would, went through the davening quick so they can get to shofar blowing, and hoping that they're going to blow shofar earlier. The Alter Rebbe did something different. Instead of davening quickly, he blew shofar before the davening. And in that way, he blew shofar before everyone else. And as a result of that, at that point, Russia won the war. And in fact, the Rebbe said this meant so much to the Alter Rebbe, so much that Russia should win the war. First of all, we know, the Rebbe doesn't mention in the Sikha, but we know that the Alter Rebbe appointed a chassid, the Moshe Meizlish, to be a spy, which means he was literally involved in being a spy for Russia. And in other words, he worked for the French generals. He would translate things for them from Russian to French, French to Russian. And at that time, they had no idea that he was anybody special. And what he did was he was listening into their plans, reported it to the Russian army, and as a result of his information, they were able to defend themselves and protect themselves and ultimately overcome the war, win this war. To the extent that the Alter Rebbe had a certain title, which was a certain recognition from the government as a acknowledgement for what he did for Russia. And this was something which Alter Rebbe used, the Mittel Rebbe, all the Rebbes of Chabad used it to get certain privileges and as to help protect them at certain times when they needed it. It was used all the way until the times of the Friedrich Rebbe, when the Tsar was finally overthrown and communism came. Then they didn't recognize it anymore. So the Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe so much didn't want Napoleon that when Napoleon, we know the Chatchil, Napoleon did come into Russia and it looked like he was going to win the war. So in that original stage, the Alter Rebbe said that he doesn't even want to be for a moment under the rule of Napoleon. And the Alter Rebbe ran away from his city, which was the city of Ladi. And the Alter Rebbe not only ran away, as we know the story, the Alter Rebbe instructed that every single item of his should be taken out of the house. To the point that after traveling for a few miles, the Alter Rebbe said he realized that he left something in the house. And he went back, with some soldiers, and went to the house. Chassid went in, took out whatever was left, and he came back with slippers and another one or two items. The Alter Rebbe gave instructions that to set the house on fire so Napoleon couldn't get anything in his hands. Because if he would have something of his in his hands from the Alter Rebbe, as a sorcerer, he would, God forbid, be able to affect the Alter Rebbe. Whenever I hear this story, it always comes to my mind that good is always greater than the negative. If Chas v'Shalom, a sorcerer, can have an effect and reach the Alter Rebbe because he has an item from his hand, how much more so in the positive end, that if people have dollars in their hand from the Rebbe, svarim that the Rebbe gave them, how much this makes a connection in Kedusha between us and the Rebbe, when the Rebbe actually gave it for that purpose, that there should be this connection. But anyway, al pi derech hateva, everything that happens has a spiritual reason. But al pi derech hateva, in the natural order, what led to the Alter Rebbe's histalkus was running away from Napoleon. He ran away from Napoleon, and he ran in a cold winter, the Russian cold winter, and they ran and they traveled. And in these travelings, that's when the Alter Rebbe became sick from the cold, and ultimately was histalkus and Chavdala Tevis. So we see how much the Alter Rebbe didn't want to be there. In fact, there's a letter from the Mittel Rebbe where he describes how the Alter Rebbe was giving open prophecy. Like he said, we never saw anything like this in our lives. The Alter Rebbe was telling us open prophecy exactly where Napoleon is going and what he's doing and what's going to be. And the reports kept coming back that Napoleon is winning. And the Rebbe writes that the Alter Rebbe came to a point, the Mittel Rebbe was like begging him and pleading with him, he's winning. And the Alter Rebbe took an oath, he swore to him, that I swear to you that Russia is going to win this war. That's how much it meant to the Alter Rebbe. So the basic reason is because Napoleon, as explained, was a klipa. True, he was a human being with hands and feet, but in him was a strong force of tumah, of impurity, and a klipa. And he had the power to bring impurity into the world, that people should throw away their belief in Hashem, and he brought the modern way of thinking into the world. And unfortunately, Yidden were affected by that as well. That was then. Now the Rebbe says, France is different. And it started specifically, and the strongest way, from the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe goes on to explain that we find already previously that the Rabbeim, the Rebbes of Chabad, made an effort to do things in France, and even to go there. The Rebbe says the first Rebbe that we know that actually went to France was the Rebbe Marash. And it's interesting, the Rebbe says he's going there, even though there was a reason why he went, but the Rebbe seems to explain that the Rebbe Marash, by going there, that was beginning to break the impurity and break through and penetrate the klipa of Tsarfa, the klipa of France. And it's interesting to know that in the Rebbe's first maimer, the Rebbe did something very unusual. I'm talking about Basi Ligani, the first maimer which the Rebbe said with which he accepted the leadership, the Messias. The Rebbe told a story of Revi Rebbe. It's very unusual to hear a story in a maimer. In Sichas, there are stories, usually not in a maimer. Here the Rebbe told a story with every Rebbe, and the story that the Rebbe told with the Rebbe Marash was about a trip that he made to France, to Paris, to bring somebody back to tshuva. And here we see that the going to Paris, and there was a time where the Rebbe Marash, he went more than once, and then the Rebbe says we find that the Rebbe Rashab went to Paris more times to France, and he spoke French So when the Rabbeim speak the language, it wasn't Stam, but it was for the purpose, through this, elevating the country, elevating that land and elevating the entire country. And then the Rebbe says, by the Friedrich Rebbe, things took on a much stronger way, because he actually sent Shluchim there, they established yeshivas there, they established learning there, they learned Chassidus, and it came to the point where France became a place where not only Torah was studied, but from there, Torah knowledge spread to other countries in the world. In fact, this is the Rebbe didn't say, but it's brought down in the Sikha. We see from this that the fact that the Rebbe spent time in France was elevating France. So, in the Sikha it's printed that the Rebbetzin, our Rebbetzin once said to one of the Shluchim from France, said in Yiddish, Miram ge'akertum gezeit, unir dav tschneiden. That means, we plowed, and we sowed, and you have to now harvest. In other words, indicating that the fact that the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin were in France wasn't Stam, but they were there as part of this process of elevating and breaking through the klipa of that country. And that's why they were there, and that was their purpose. So she said, we did the plowing, and we planted the seeds, and now you shluchim have to bring the fruit. So the fact that today there could be yeshivas there and Yiddishkeit there in such a major way as it is a result of all this that was done. So the Rebbe says, and this is the point of the Sikha, that all this is a result of the fact that we're coming to the end of Golos. And now's the time that France has to be ultimately transformed and turned around, and that's why this is happening today. And the Rebbe points out that France, the word in Hebrew for France, Tsarfas, is actually the Gematria 770. Showing that today it's connected to 770, and it's the same a source of Chassidus and Torah and Yiddishkeit. In fact, one of the words that are found in the Nevuah regarding Mashiach is Yizbaru, V'Yislavnu, V'Yitzorfu Rabim. V'Yitzorfu is the same word as the union of Tzarfas. Then the Rebbe says, and this is the point which as mentioned before, is a very unusual point and a new point that the Rebbe brings out. In order to bring this all out in a stronger way, we see another thing. People ask a question, how come we don't see miracles today like we used to see years ago? And the answer is, the Rebbe says, there are miracles today. That's the Rebbe's answer. And he gives an example of a miracle that's related to France. And the Rebbe says that it's known that every country has their national anthem, has their song. And this song represents what the country is all about. I think this is the point where we'll be reading inside. So it's page 183, where it says Yud. As usual, because we don't have enough time, you can look here, page 183, Sefer HaSichas Tavshin and Beis, where it says Yud. And I won't read the Yiddish and then translate it, but I will read it L'chatchila in English. But you can follow me in the Yiddish. Before 183, it starts off. The Rebbe says, here we can see an amazing thing which helps us see more openly the transformation that took place and is taking place in France. And this is the answer to those people that complain, how come we don't see miracles today like we saw them years ago? And the answer is, it's not true. There are miracles today. And just to give an example, that we can see a miracle that's happening today. It's known that every country has its national anthem, just like every country has its own flag and banner. And this is a song that every country sings when they get together in some sort of a official, formal gathering that represents the country in one way or another. So it's understood. Now I'm going to page 184. That the song of the country represents the country itself. And especially when we talk about France, where the national anthem of France is a song that was composed in connection to the revolution, the French Revolution. In other words, not Stam's song, but this song represents the revolution that took place in France. And especially if you look at this from a Hasidic and more Pnimizdik perspective, it's known that every country, the big countries, have their own Tsar, their own angel in Shemayim. And the Nigun is connected to that angel. A number of years ago, the Rebbe says, which is Tavshin Lamed Dalet, it was the middle of Hakafas, Tavshin Lamed Dalet, when it started, but let me first read the Rebbe's words. A number of years ago, Siddim began to sing the national anthem of this country, the Nigun of the Revolution. They sang it with the words of Aderez V'Amunah L'Chai Elam. And a short time right after this, an amazing thing happened. That the country, France, officially made changes in this national anthem. They changed certain parts of it. Just to make it clear, actually when it happened was during Hakafas. We know that during Hakafas, the Rebbe stands up front, and the first Hakafa and the seventh Hakafa, the Rebbe goes to the middle and the Rebbe dances, but the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, sixth Hakafas, the Rebbe stands up front, and the Rebbe claps with his hands or motions with his hand that we should sing, and everybody is looking at the Rebbe. The thing was that the fourth Hakafa, everyone is waiting, and suddenly the Rebbe takes his siddur and walks to the edge of the platform and starts singing a song with the words of Aderez V'Amunah, which is the Nigun which we know today, it's the French national anthem, but with this song. And ever since, Chassidim sing this Nigun. A few months later, the country officially made certain changes in the Nigun. I mentioned this many times, that at the time that this happened, I remember somebody said to me that during that week he actually called the consulate of France and he asked the people there, are you aware of the fact that a number of years ago the national anthem was changed? He says, no. I'll give you another number to call. Calls another number. Are you aware that there was ever such a change? He says, no. But I'll give you another number to call of the cultural department. And the cultural department told him, yes, in 1974, they changed certain notes of the song. So he says, do you know the reason why? He says, no, I don't know. That I don't know. So the Rebbe is giving the reason why. It's an amazing thing because this is a song that began with the revolution, which means it's a song that's 200 years old. A song that's 200 years old and it's the song of the country, there has to be a real big important reason to go ahead and change certain notes. So the Rebbe says the real reason was something must have been going on in their head. But the real reason was a ruchnizdika reason. And that is, the Rebbe says, and it's interesting how the Rebbe says, the old chassidim explain it as follows. This is the Rebbe's explanation. The old chassidim explain it as follows. We know, Hamiz Rebbe always speaks in a hidden way, that being that this nigun became a holy nigun, a chassidish nigun, so the angel and the mazel of this country realized that, and therefore, that change had to be taking place. In other words, now the nigun no longer belongs to him. So his nigun has to be different already. This belongs to us. And in the footnote 52, it says that this is similar to what happened with Napoleon's march. We know there's a nigun that in Chabad we sing, when do we sing it? Yom Kippur. And when on Yom Kippur? At the height of Yom Kippur by Nila. And what is the nigun that you sing at the height of Yom Kippur called? Napoleon's march. So it's known that the Alter Rebbe is that he wants to hear the nigun that Napoleon, that the French marched into Russia when they went into Russia. So they sang it to the Alter Rebbe. And when they sang it, the Alter Rebbe said, true, this is a true song of victory. And then he was thinking for a moment and was very deep in thought. And then the Alter Rebbe said, Sof Kosof will be Dida Notzach, that we will win. And which actually happened, that Russia eventually overpowered friends. So it says here in the footnote 53 that the Prime Minister of France requested that certain notes in the song should be changed. Then it says that the new Prime Minister in Tavshin Mem Aleph changed it back to the way it is, the way it was. So it's a very strange thing. Why change it? And this is the answer. Because the Tsar Lamaila realized that this is no longer his song, so he put the thought into the Prime Minister that he has to change the song because this one doesn't belong to them anymore. A very interesting thing, when this Sikha came out, at the time that this Sikha came out, it was maybe a month later, somebody sent me an article, I think it was from the Time magazine, about an article about the Rebbe. So on one side had a picture of the Rebbe and a few words. Then you tear out a piece of paper from a magazine, has the other side. Originally I didn't know what he's sending me the article, what is it about. So I look at the other side and there was an interesting article there that related to this. The article was that in France there was a very big event and a child sang the French national anthem with the words. And there was a big commotion, I don't know what the end result was, but that was the article. There was a big commotion that it's time we change the words of the song. Because the words are very full of violence. They have one line there. One line reads that our soil will be drenched with the blood of our enemy. So they said, how can we have children singing such a song? So therefore, let's change the words to something like, we'll all hold hands together in unity, things like that. So I was thinking to myself, the Rebbe just spoke about the song, and in France, that was the niggun. In France, they're talking about changing the words, because this is all part of the changes that are taking place in the world. So the Rebbe says, here we see the difference between now and then, and that's why now, this niggun, which used to be Napoleon's niggun, became a Chassidish niggun. And just like there are a lot of nigunim that are new nigunim, they're composed recently, and once they're composed and chassidim sing them, they become a chassidish nigun. So this song, which is actually shayach to the French Revolution, now it became a chassidish nigun. Why? Because spiritually, the country and what it represents is also becoming transformed, and it's getting ready for its ultimate transformation and elevation through Mashiach. The Rebbe says this is an open miracle. That here, Chassidim begin to sing the song, and this happens. So the end result is, what do we learn from this? I'll soon get to that in a second. It's important to point out, when the Rebbe said the Sikha, you can see the date. This is Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev, Chav Gimel Kislev, Tov Shin Nun Beis. What was going on in the world at that time was, the next week was Hanukkah, and the Rebbe had a rally here in Crown Heights, in 770, but there were hookups all over the world, and that year there was a chiddush, something new, and that was that there was also a hookup in the building in Moscow that used to be the headquarters of the KGB, and there was a screen where the Rebbe was speaking out of that building. And then a week later, after this, it was announced that Soviet Union is over, it's gone. And now it ceased to exist. So really it was an amazing thing. The Rebbe said many times, and later the Rebbe says it clearly, before the Rebbe said it, that the changes in Russia, the fact that communism fell, this is one of the expressions of Mashiach unfolding. That's how it's happening. But here, if what happened in France, a change in a song and a note, the Rebbe says, if you look at it, you'll see that it came from here. So the way Chassidim, I think, understood this Sikha, besides everything else, was it was also a preparation to what you're going to see in a week or two. That is going to be a major collapse of the communist regime, and you should know that it's coming from here. It's coming from, this is also one of the pu'ulis of Melech HaMashiach. But what does the Rebbe conclude? The Rebbe concludes that what we learn from this is that there are miracles that are happening now, and let's go to Yud Aleph. Why are we talking about it now? Especially a chassid can say, I was raised all my life that we don't have such a koch in the din of meifsim. Here the Rebbe is referring to the fact that there was a big difference between Chabad and other chassidim, and the Chabad Rebbes and other Rebbes, regarding the subject of meifsim, of miracles. It's a subject which I really think it's kedai to go into more. Won't be enough time today to go into it in detail, but Blina, the next week, I'll go into more detail. But it's known that one of the differences between Chabad and other Rebbes was that the other Rebbes performed miracles in a very open way. And that was their way of inspiring Yidden. And the Chassidim also constantly would talk about the miracles and tell miracle stories, and that was their way of inspiring themselves and their children and their students. In Chabad, the path that was chosen primarily to inspire someone with more love and fear and belief in Hashem is through learning Chassidus and not so much through the miracles. To mention briefly, there's a story with the Alter Rebbe that he had a chassid, it was a mashpia, I forgot the name of the town, And in his town, there were the Babich Chassidim and other Chassidim. And there was a student that used to be a chassid of another Rebbe, and he used to study together with these young men, and then he changed and became a Lubavitcher chassid. Naturally, every time that they would meet, they would discuss my way, your way, which is better, as what usually happens. So they would always say to him, you know, we really envy you that you have chassidus, because their Rebbe didn't allow them to learn chassidus in depth. So they were jealous. They said, this is something special. This is something which you're very lucky. But it's one thing which we have and you don't have. And that is, our Rebbe is capable of performing such amazing miracles, and we don't see this by the Alter Rebbe. And he wouldn't say anything, but inside it bothered him. How come, Taka, the Alter Rebbe doesn't perform such amazing miracles? Doesn't mean that the Alter Rebbe is not as capable and not as spiritual, not as great as these Rebbes. It bothered him. On the other hand, he was too embarrassed to ask his mashpia, because that would mean that he lacks trust and understanding of the Alter Rebbe's greatness, so he just kept it to himself. One day the mashpia calls him in, and he says that I got a letter from the Alter Rebbe, but I don't understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying, and I think only you can help me. What is it? The Alter Rebbe writes me, I should be mekarev you, I should bring you, show you more closeness, give you more attention, talk to you more, and I should alleviate your pain. And for you this would be a sign, and for others it'll be a miracle. It's a puzzle, I don't know what it means. And the chassid, the student, immediately realized that what the Alter Rebbe is telling his teacher is that he should give him more time. And what does it mean to leave? What's his pain? His pain was, how come the Alter Rebbe doesn't perform miracles? The Alter Rebbe says, you, it's going to be a sign as what your function is as a mashpia. And for him, he'll have his moifus, he'll have his miracle that he was looking for. So he realized the Alter Rebbe knew what he was thinking hundreds of miles away, and he saw the miracle. So why doesn't the Alter Rebbe perform miracles? It has to do with the shita of Chabad, that the way to inspire ourselves with a greater love for Hashem, greater fear of Hashem, and a greater belief in Hashem should be mainly through learning chassidus, and not so much through the miracles. Just to give one more example, that when the Alter Rebbe was arrested and freed from jail, the Alter Rebbe sent letters to the Chassidim, to Rabbi Levi Tzabaditcheva, to Baruch Mezhebuzher, and Rabbi Baruch Mezhebuzher was a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov, and he sent him a letter of how he had Mesiras Nefesh for his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, by going to jail. For whatever reason, this is a discussion itself, Rabbi Baruch and the Alter Rebbe were very close. And then something happened later that Rabbi Baruch Mezhebuzher did not agree with the Alter Rebbe, and he was against the Alter Rebbe for the fact that he's spreading chassidus in such a way. He was against that. And his opinion was that you're not supposed to reveal chassidus in such a way, and there was a rift between him and the Alter Rebbe. And there was a number of discussions that took place between them. Just to give one example, Rabbi Baruch Mezhebuzher once told the Alter Rebbe, he said to him, you know who I am? When I was a child, and my grandfather, Baal Shem Tov, was holding me on my laps, and he asked me, what does Levona mean? So I said to him, the Lamed stands Lamed Bey stands for Lamed Bey's Nesivas Chochma, and the Nun is Nun Shari Bina. He told him something Kabbalistic like that as a child. The Alter Rebbe said, that's nothing. If Baal Shem Tov would have a goat on his lap, the goat would also say the same thing. In other words, you're in the Baal Shem Tov's hand, so of course that's what you would say. And there were other discussions between them, which definitely has much more depth, what appears on the surface. But when the Alter Rebbe told him, how could you be against me when I had Mesiras Nefesh for your grandfather, for the Baal Shem Tov? I was in jail. So Rabbi Baruch Mezhebuzher said, if I was in that jail, I wouldn't go through all this. I'd take a few puffs with my pipe, and the whole jail would burn down, and I'd go home. In other words, who'd have to be sitting there for 53 days? With a miracle, I'd be out. Alter Rebbe said that the Yaakov Avinu, last week's parsha, met with Esau, and he said that he prepared gifts, and he davened, that he did prepare for war. He said Yaakov could have taken his hand and just moved it over his forehead, and Esau and all his 400 men would have been gone, also with a miracle. But Yaakov didn't want to do it in a miraculous way. He wanted to do it in a natural way. So here too, the Alter Rebbe said, I didn't want to do it in a miraculous way. I wanted to do it in a natural way. In fact, it's known that the Alter Rebbe said there shouldn't be a minion of his chassidim in Petersburg. The Alter Rebbe was afraid if the minion of chassidim get together in Petersburg, they'll burn the place down. Not with a fire, spiritually, they'll just over. And the Alter Rebbe didn't want that. So we see that in Chabad, the approach always was not through miracles, but dafka to go through nature, and through nature bring out the godliness in nature. So the Rebbe says, why are we talking about miracles? And the Rebbe says, because now the times have changed. Now the time has come that we have to publicize the Eibishter's miracles, especially as we're approaching Chanukah, with the Chanukah's Pirsumei Nisa, the midst of Chanukah is to publicize miracles. So even if all year round one would think that it's not time for that, but Chanukah, surely it's a time to publicize the miracles. And why? Because recognizing Hashem's miracles, this brings Mashiach Tzidkenu. Where do we see that recognizing miracles brings Mashiach? The Gemara says, Bikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lases Chizkiyo Mashiach. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyo to become Mashiach. Omra Midas HaDin, so Hashem's attribute of Din argued and said, Chizkiyo Shasisa Lekol HaNisim Alolu, you made such miracles, you saved them from Sancherev, you saved them from a very severe illness, and he didn't say Shira Lefanecha, he didn't sing and didn't praise you sufficiently, you're going to make him a Shiach. Apizez Muvan, so from this it's understood, as Pirsum Menisa, to publicize the miracles, that Eibishter Tud Bizmaneinu, the miracle that Hashem is doing for us now, is Nageya to the Gula Amitiz Vashleim B'Peil Mamish. And the Rebbe concludes that this is the Hira, that we should publicize the miracles that are happening today. And from this time and on, it became more of an emphasis to publicize the miracles. Which miracles are the Rebbe talking about? Let's use his example. The Rebbe gave an example of a miracle, basically, that he performed. That he took the Nigan, he took the country of France, and it was elevated. And therefore we saw, because the truth is, I think anyone would say, if I'd have to think of a miracle to show everybody there are miracles today, I could think of something more exciting. The Rebbe chose a very strange miracle. But besides many other things which I'm sure we're not aware of, one thing is clear, the Rebbe gave us not just a miracle, but a miracle that came through the Rebbe and from the Rebbe. And these are the miracles that we're supposed to publicize today. And this has to do with bringing Mashiach. Maybe just to say a few words, how is it that publicizing the miracles and seeing these miracles brings Mashiach closer? I'm sure this can be explained in many different ways. But maybe one way of explaining it is that what the Rebbe constantly tells us is to be ready to receive Mashiach, and it's important to recognize that Mashiach's coming is imminent and that the world is ready for Gula. And before this week, 2 weeks before this, the Rebbe began to use the term we learned about here in this class, and the Rebbe said, open your eyes and see that the world is ready for Gula. To open your eyes and see it. In other words, if we see it, that itself hastens the coming of Mashiach. One of the things that helps us see more clearly that Gula is unfolding is when you see a miracle. When you see something miraculous happening, that helps it unfold. Because the Gullus we see with our eyes, and the suffering in Gullus we see with our eyes. You know the famous statement of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchever, where he once complained to Hashem and said, you took Gan Eden, Olam Haba, all the rewards, and you put them into the books. But in front of our eyes, you put all the pleasures of the physical world. Why don't you do the reverse? Take all the pleasures of the physical world and put them into books. Take all the rewards of Gan Eden, put that in front of our eyes, and then you'll see how we'll act. And we'll surely act appropriately. So basically, it's interesting. The Gullus and the suffering of Gullus, unfortunately, we see it and we feel it on our skin. The fact that Mashiach is coming, we hear it from the Rebbe. But when you see it with your eyes, it helps you internalize it even more. So the Rebbe is, in a sense, telling us to start looking and you'll see miracles that are taking place now. So when we talk about things that are happening now, you look at a person and the person tells you about a miracle that happened with them, how the Rebbe did something for them, it brings the whole concept of Mashiach to a closer, more tangible level. Let me just say this one word maybe as an example, the Kitzer. There's a famous story in the Sichas of the Friedrich Rebbe. Everyone knows the story, so I'm not going to go into the details, but just mention it briefly. It's a story with the Alter Rebbe. that one year the Chassidim came to the Alter Rebbe. Chassidim used to go by foot when they traveled to the Alter Rebbe, because this was similar to the way the Yidden traveled to the Beis Hamikdash, Dafke by foot. That winter was a very cold winter in Tishrei, to the extent that when they had to sit down to eat in the sukkah, they had to first see if there's no snow on top of the roof and remove the snow and then sit down and eat. That's how cold it was. So a lot of the Chassidim, when they arrived in Lozhna to the Alter Rebbe, by the time they got there, parts of the body were frostbitten, they were sick with high fevers, I guess pneumonia, and things that come from such terrible weather. And some people were seriously ill, and some people were critically ill. And one of the Chassidim, Rav Pinchas Reizes, came to the Alter Rebbe and he asked the bracha for all these Chassidim. When did he ask for this bracha? Erev Simchas Torah, Erev Shmini Atzeres. The Alter Rebbe sat for a moment in deep thought, and then he said, bring all the sick, let all the sick people come to Hakafis, and Torah, which is compared to fire, Eish Oichlehu, the fire of Torah will burn out the fire of their temperature, of their illness. So they let it known in the whole city, the Alter Rebbe wants everyone to come to Hakafis, all those that are sick, and that's how they'll be healed and be cured. And to make sure that everybody knew this, they went from house to house letting everybody know. And they also sent younger chassidim, which had koyach, and that some of the sick people couldn't even come themselves. They need somebody to carry them, to hold them, and to bring them to shul. So Rav Pinchas Reizes said that he himself went with someone around the different homes, and he came to the home of where he knew a chassid was there. The actual house was not the house of a chassid, it was the house of a misnagid. But this misnagid was a relative of this chassid. And the chassid came with his son-in-laws and his son. All of them became sick. The only difference was, and they were all so sick that they couldn't physically even walk to shul themselves. The only difference was that the older chassid, the father-in-law, was so sick that the doctor said he's not sure whether he's going to survive. And the way they describe it in the sikha, is he was going in and out of a coma. That's how sick he was. But Pinchas Reizes says, I walked into the house. When I walked in, the young men, the son-in-laws, were so excited to see me. They said, great, people came to take us. Let's go to the shul. We're going to go to Hakafis. Their relative, who was an older man, not a chassid, a misnagid, was furious. He said, you're out of your mind. How could you go outside in this freezing cold weather? The first wind, it'll be the end of him. How could you take your father out in this weather? And if you do it, you should know you'll be guilty of murder. And he was screaming at them, showing them from Halacha, that it says even in Gemara, and the Mishnah, that you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, providing that you're healthy, and if you're sick, you're exempt from going there, and you're not allowed to do this, and it's murder. And he was screaming and shouting. And they ignored him. They said, please come, get more people, help us carry our father. But Pinchas Reizes said, I looked at this man, I looked at his face, and I was in shock. He was pale, unconscious, and I was thinking, you know, maybe he's right. How can I take this man outside in such a weather, in such a condition, when the doctor already said that he doesn't know if he'll survive? And they were screaming at me and telling me, there's no time to think, quick, take us, we want to go to Hakafis. And he said, at the moment, he started to feel embarrassed of himself. He says, he's a chassid, he was by the Alter Rebbe for years, he learns chassidus, and yet, he was having doubts whether or not he should bring them to the shul. These two young men, who are simple people, don't come anywhere near his knowledge of chassidus, don't come anywhere near his experience of being near the Rebbe. And yet, for them it was simple. They didn't have any doubt that they and their father-in-law are going to shul and they're going to be healed. Their emunah was clear. And of course, what happened was they all went to shul and the Alter Rebbe gave them wine from his kiddush, and that night they were all healed. And the doctor said that for many people it was a miracle, for others it was a great miracle, but for certain people, he said, I would call it tchias hameisim, not a miracle of healing, with Chiz HaMesim. So just to take the story as an example, how could we understand how a chassid like that, Rav Pinchas Reizes, Taka, a big chassid of the Alter Rebbe, learned chassidus, definitely heard and saw different miracles from the Alter Rebbe, how could it be that he should have a question and a doubt? And I think the way to explain it is, and maybe there's more to it, I'm not certainly there's more to it, but just on one level, that even though he, of course, he had no doubt in the Alter Rebbe, he knew who the Alter Rebbe was, and he knew what the Alter Rebbe is capable of doing, the Alter Rebbe takes it on his responsibility, but nevertheless, when you walk into a room, and with your eyes you see, Rachmana Litzlan, a person in that condition, the physical, visual experience hits you. And suddenly you're shook up and you don't know whether this can be done. In other words, a belief in the Alter Rebbe was there, but the other side was visual to the eye, and that has such an impact that it began. In other words, the people that night after this miracle, then the Alter Rebbe's kayach was visible to them, to their eyes. They saw a person who was sick. The doctor said, who knows what? He drank the wine and he became totally healed. So basically, the Rebbe is telling us, now is the time we have to get ready for Mashiach. We have to see miracles that are happening in the world. And the Rebbe himself pointed to many miracles, the miracles in Russia and the miracles in different places, that we see changes in the world. But specifically, when we focus on the miracles that the Rebbe has performed then, that the Rebbe is performing now, so many stories that people have told today, where people write to the Rebbe and they put their letter into Igros Kodesh, they open up a sefer and they see how the Rebbe speaks to them. Things in their life change in a miraculous way. When you talk about miracles that are happening now, it helps us recognize and realize the need of Mashiach on a much more tangible, visual, touchable level. And that's the Hira, that now is the time that people should publicize the miracles. Bli Neder, if we're still Chas V'Shalom in Galus, and we're still not yet soaking in miracles as it'll be when Mashiach comes, then next week we'll talk a little bit about the difference between the two opinions, Alter Rebbe and others, about performing miracles, and elaborate on this a little bit more.